following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
In August 1st, I moved with my entire family with me, my wife and my four redheaded little ones, all redheads, from New Mexico, where we had spent the last 9 years serving on college campus there, to Thibodaux, Louisiana. So a very different place, of course, than New Mexico, but interesting enough, has very similar cultures in some ways. So thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. If you like, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Born in 1797 to pub-owning parents, young Edward Mote grew up without any knowledge of the Bible or the loving presence of Christ. As he later recalled, "So ignorant was I that I did not know there was a God." One faithful morning in 1834, as Mote walked to his workshop in Holborn, for he was a cabinet maker by trade, Holborn, London, the words of a chorus came to his mind. By the end of the day, he had penned four verses of what would become one of the most beloved hymns of all time. The following Sunday, Mote visited a friend whose wife lay ill. As they gathered to sing a hymn and pray together, Mote realized he had forgotten his hymnal. Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out the verses he had written just days before. The words brought comfort and solace to the ailing woman, and Mote, moved by the impact of his composition, added two more stanzas and had 1,000 copies printed to share with others. I'm sure you've heard this hymn before. It has brought great joy and peace to many people in trouble. And it begins like this: "My hope is built nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." So as you see, the title of this message is Hope. And as it's very fitting, Edward Mote's song begins with, "My hope is built on nothing less." So let's take a look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 12. It says this, this is Peter, of course, writing, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what persons or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." Before we dive in, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this hope, a hope that's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and is built on a solid rock. And in this day and age, we desperately need a solid rock to stand on. So bless this message. May it be yours, your words alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Peter talks here, this hope is living. We are energized by this hope. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Far too often we use the word hope in our sentences, by which we really mean, I wish. Wishful thinking. You might say, I wish I had that new car or new truck. I wish I had $1 million. In fact, Oxford defines hope like this, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. But when Christ resurrected from the dead, it brought this hope completely once and for all out of the realm of wishful thinking, a realm it never really belonged in because God, who does not lie, said it would happen before that fact. And it brought it into the realm of fact, truth. No, our living hope in Christ is not a wish, but already a reality. As one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. This hope, as to further define it, is an inheritance. Peter describes it as such. One does not take an inheritance by force, then it would no longer be an inheritance. We are given an inheritance by the family in which we are born into. So it is with Christ. We are born again. So what is this inheritance? It is Jesus Christ himself, plus all the blessings that he has promised us. But we also see in Matthew 25, 1 Corinthians 3, and along with all this, all the rewards that we gain from faithfully serving him in this life. This inheritance can be spent. Inheritance in general can be spent. Take, for example, what Jesus taught the parable of the prodigal son. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. This inheritance that we receive from Christ is different than that inheritance that the young man received and spent. Other inheritance, depending on its form, could be destroyed. For example, a large estate or a house could be vandalized or burned down or taken away if put up for security, some failed business venture. But here we see it is written differently. The inheritance is untouched by death, unstained by evil, unimpaired by time. It's being guarded not by soldiers or private security force or a bank, but by God himself. So the first is the hope is living. Second, the hope is this hope is an inheritance. Third, this hope is refined by fire. Go back to verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with the glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So with these things in mind, we rejoice despite our difficulties we are facing now. These trials prove our faith. Our hope is genuine. I don't know about you, but I really hate it when someone accuses me of not being genuine about something. It's as if they're telling me I'm fake, I'm a liar. So when my genuineness is proven real, I rejoice in that. God is proving our faith by trials, not only to others, but ourselves as well. For much of my early life, I lacked a lot of confidence in myself and in my faith. Not too long after I graduated college, I moved off on my own. There I began a season of life that I went through filled with deep depression and anxiety, where I questioned my faith and even my own soundness of mind. All I had to hold on to were the grounded truths of his word They were my anchor in the storm. I couldn't trust my own feelings and thoughts. God's word didn't feel true. But I knew deep in my heart, regardless of feeling, that it was true. God used my family, friends, church community, counselors, doctors to bring me out of that time. And in the end, was this gold of my faith refined by fire. These difficulties are testing our faith and refining it. The result is praise and glory being given to God when Christ is revealed, when we see him face to face. Because we don't see Jesus face to face right now, but one day we will see him face to face. This hope is living, it's an inheritance, it's refined by fire. And this hope is meant to be passed down. Check out what Peter says, and as we go back to verse 10, he brings up some very interesting statements here. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and subsequent glories. It was revealed to them they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Peter states here that the prophets of the Old Testament searched and inquired of the Holy Spirit the time in which Christ would appear and his sufferings. The prophets of the Old Testament did not know that his name was Jesus, nor all the fine details of how and when and where he would come. But they knew God would send a suffering Savior. What's more, God revealed to them that all they were doing was not for themselves, but for those who would come after them, the age and generations of the church. Do you think this idea of older generations preparing the way for the newer generation has stopped? From age to age, God uses each generation to serve and to glorify him in that age, but also uses them to prepare the next generation to serve him in that age in which they find themselves. For example, as I said, the prophets prepared the way for the New Testament, for Christ to come. Christ prepared the way for the apostles, and the apostles prepared the way for the church. The early church prepared the way for the church to expand to the West. The church in the West prepared the way to expand the church to all parts of the globe today. I often wonder how Christians in the late 1800s and early 1900s, as they were ministering and helping spread the gospel around the globe, and they looked at the generation of the 1920s, the roaring 20s, right? And thought, what an evil and deviant generation. Is anything we telling them that we are telling them about Christ and righteousness getting through to them? Yet the 1920s generation, the deviant one, they're the same generation that rose to help others in the Great Depression and stood for righteousness in World War II. And so I would say to you this morning, maybe you're looking at our world and the younger generation of today and are thinking all is lost. And I get it. All we hear is how Satan is having his way on university campuses of America. You just look in the news and all you hear is heartache and gross immorality. And worldviews that are counter to that of Christianity and the truth that we have, this solid rock. It feels as our country is falling to pieces, and if much of the world itself is in pieces. And you think, is anyone still standing for the Lord? Perhaps you're feeling like Elijah in the book of 1 Kings after defeating the prophets of Baal, fled for his life. And found himself in a cave feeling like all hope was lost and that he was the only one left who still loved the Lord. But what did the Lord say to Elijah in that cave? Well, it's the same message I would bring to you today when you think about American college campuses. Yet there is 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed down to Baal or kissed his hand. So I bring you good news from the campus of Nicholls State University. Christ has yet many students who have not bowed down to Satan. Your work for the Lord has not been in vain in the past. Many of your generation who built the Baptist Student Union building in the late 60s had no idea that they were doing it not for themselves, but for this generation of the 2020s. And I would tell you this, that this student group, and you've seen some of them here today, they are incredible. They love the Lord so much, and they are passionate to share the gospel on the campus and around the world. And what we find is what's amazing amongst the students on the American campus is that many of them are actually open to talking about the gospel. For example, I was training one of my student leaders in something we call campus-y or campus evangelism training, in which we go up and we ask students who are sitting by themselves on campus, and we say, hey, we're out on campus today talking with people about a relationship with Jesus. Can we ask you a few questions? You'd be amazed about how many say, sure. Take, for example, one that me and the student leader found the other day named Tamari. He was a graphic design major in the art department, and you would think of all the people on a campus, college campus, who would be very against talking about the gospel, you would think this young student would be that. I'm sure you know the different stereotypes we hear about liberal arts and things. But Tamari was very interested in hearing about it. And in fact, he was very reflective in every question we asked. And I asked him if he had any experience in the church, and not really, he said. But he said recently he had been studying many of the old Italian paintings of the life of Jesus and how studying those paintings had made him think more and more about Christ. And how I told him, it's like there's no coincidence that we are here talking with you today about this. And though he did not give his life to Christ that moment, you could tell in his mind what the Lord was speaking to him. And that old Italian paintings still speak the truth of the gospel centuries later. You see, it's not just on my campus here at Nicholls State, but campuses across the United States and the world. This generation is standing for Christ. And though you may feel distant from this generation and how the things that they are interested in or how they might dress or how they might talk, please know that the Lord is active in their lives in using all this for his glory. And guess what? This older generation is still needed. If you consider you're part of that older generation today, then I'd say you're still needed. To invest through prayer, through meals, yeah, even financially, through discipleship and mentorship. And so we ask that you continue the work that you might have begun long ago to continue to invest in the BCM at Nicholls State University. As the band comes forward and lead an invitation, I would say this, there may be some of you this morning who do not know the Lord, who do not have a relationship with him. You do not have this hope that is as solid as a rock. Then may I offer this invitation to you that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was perfect and never sinned. And he died on the cross for you. So that the punishment that you deserved, the wage of death, would be paid by him. And he rose again 3 days later to bring you new life, living hope, and born again. So if you do not have that hope today, then come forward. Pastor Tracy's going to be up front. You talk with him. Give your life to Christ. Find that it is not sinking sand, but it is a solid rock that you placing your hope upon. So thank you for this opportunity to speak with y'all today. And as we lead into this invitation, please come. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for the living hope that we have. And Lord, may it never falter. And it will never falter. But may it not falter in this country or in the many countries that the gospel is being preached. And thank you for this generation that we have, that they love you. And Lord, may they always look towards you. May they always cast themselves on the living rock, the solid rock, God. Now, Lord, I pray for anyone who does not have that hope today that they would come. May they come. And God, may the first time in their life, may they finally see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.